The current podcast is sponsored by Highly Addictive. Highly Addictive is here for your music recording needs. If you need a space to record your vocals or instrumentals, contact Highly Addictive. Don't be shy to record your music. Become inspired by Highly Addictive. Contact them through their site at highlyaddictivellc.com or follow them on Instagram through Highly Addictive LLC. Hope you book them. The current podcast is sponsored by New Life Barber Lounge. New Life is not another barbershop. This is a place where you will find great energy and a friend in the New Life crew. This is a place all about the experience. They will take care of you and have you looking spectacular. Don't waste your time at any other place. Go right now and follow them on Instagram at New Life Barbers and get yourself looking spectacular.
Welcome to the current podcast. This is your co-producer, Byron. We got Mauricio in the building. Got our co-host, Enzo, in the building. Got Manny in the building. And then we got our special guest, Anthony, in the building.
Guys.
How you guys doing tonight?
Very well.
Hey. Co-producer.
Whoa.
Yeah, that's what I was told.
He went and elevated, right?
No, because last time
he was the only host.
I got checked last time. Nah, but this one, that one was a great introduction, bro.
No, he did great. Thank you, Byron. We appreciate it.
Yeah, I'm working on it.
He was like, let me take it up a little.
I'm telling you, bro, you gotta go home and look yourself in the mirror.
Right, and you gotta repeat it to yourself.
It's gonna come out naturally when you're here, bro.
You know what? What I also feel like is helping out, work in a way, because I have to make calls and whatnot.
Yeah, he's learning about
You're basically coming out of your shell, basically.
Yeah, slowly again.
A little shell.
Like a snail, like a turtle. Which Ninja Turtle are you, bro? You Donatello, Michelangelo?
The one with the red one.
Raphael?
Yeah. I don't know, man. You remember like Master Splinter.
I was going to say
Mikey, bro.
Michelangelo?
I can imagine Byron's like, you call me a rat, dog?
That's
the coolest rat in the world right there.
The purple one
is Donatello. That's when I would be Donatello.
Come on, man. There would be no Donatello Raphael, none of them without Master Splinter, man.
I've never heard Donatello being gay, bro.
What the heck?
This is like you saying, like, when they brought out that Superman's son is going to be gay or something like that.
Yeah, bro. Basically.
Wow. I thought he was going to be bisexual.
Something like that.
I don't know, bro.
But didn't Joe Budden come out as bisexual this week?
He did, bro.
Well, it was a joke, but...
Sure, bro. We'll keep it like that.
Well, this is a whole. If you watched the whole podcast, what he did was that was his bait for people to watch it. No, it was he said that he was kind of referencing cancel culture, and he said I'm gonna come out so that I don't get canceled. So now I have the gay card, and you guys can't cancel me. Mm. You get it? Mm-hmm. So that's why he was saying it.
It's like when he got elected, he pulled out I'm gonna support Hispanics. He pulled that card out too, and he won the majority of the vote.
Right? No, I'm not saying Joe Biden. Budden.
Oh, Budden. Oh, can
that the podcast. I mean, damn, if Joe Biden came out here. Oh, yeah.
Bro, that would be revolutionary, bro.
I mean, isn't he married?
Yeah, that's why I said
that would be controversial.
Like the whole Bible Belt will come at him crazy. Nah, but Joe Budden, the podcaster, the former rapper, came out and said that. But man, let's get into the guest today, though. That's who we're here for, the man of the hour.
Definitely, Anthony. Yeah, yeah. Tell us a little bit about yourself, man.
What's up, Anthony? I'm just now meeting him. My brother's been telling you a lot about you, but I don't know.
Not much. He puts in good word, so that's how we know about.
Let me put it to you this first. First of all, so since you guys are making it that I am the only one that knows him, which pretty much is, what's it called, Anthony? You're one of our faithful listeners, first and foremost.
Yeah.
But I want to thank you for that, for listening to us.
He uses our words in his work, bro. That's what we established.
Which is not the greatest thing. But
yeah, I know. He came in here saying this, better get, bro. I was like, you learned that from the pod, huh? Yeah, and then he learned puñeta from the pod, too,
that's
bro.
Not good.
Hey,
bro.
Are you
learning manifestation and realization?
He's learning all the work. Pause, man.
Pause.
They taking our jobs. You know, like he's learning
all
that.
It's all connected. Who's to say?
He's just learning all the little.
Bam shit only.
All the little sayings, bro.
Who to say to? What to say?
Who to choose?
Thinking about jizz. How to get at girls, because, you know, those grown girls don't know how to get at guys. So. They never had a date in their life.
Oh, hey. Shots fired.
Hey. Savage, bro.
Hey. Shots fired. Hey, we said.
Now we can be like, hey, watch this pot. There's cheese man.
First of all.
There's cheese man.
First of all.
The tea.
There's a challenge that was that's still on the table. So next time they're on an episode, the challenge, like, I mean, you guys are still challenged too. Like, at the end of the year, we need to have a date. And we need to go reprise that episode and see if we, you know, any of us had a date. I mean, well, any of y'all had a date. Do you want to join that challenge? Are you single?
I am single, yeah.
Oh, so you want to join the single date challenge?
You gotta go on the spot.
You gotta go on a date by the end of the year.
His first day here. He's like, you gotta go on a date by the end of the year.
God said to go multiply, son.
He's like, follow the first commandment. Be fruitful and multiply.
He's like, the Lord is speaking to me, Holden.
Real talk.
It makes sense why they're in a tree.
Damn, bro. You want to marry by January, bro?
No. I do want to say that, like, for my boys that are single, just stay with intent, man. Know what you want.
I mean especially for you, bro. Tell us, Anthony, what is your dating pool like? Like, where do you work, first of all? Tell us that.
Well, I work at the airport.
Would you date a girl that works at the airport with you?
It's kind of hard to say, in all honesty, because...
Why, you got to like her enough?
Well, it's not that. The only reason is, like, sometimes...
They've been out of the streets? What?
They already got kids, you know? And then...
It's hard. You're saying that the one...
There's not a lot of single options is what I'm hearing.
Exactly,
by the way, you don't have to say what specific place you work for just to protect yourself.
Just LAX.
LAX, yeah, bro.
What do you mean?
Just so he doesn't say what specific...
What company he works for.
Nothing like that. Just to protect yourself.
DACA?
But why do you say that? Because I know for certain airlines, like, I've noticed, like, when you go to the check-in area, like, the females or the person people working there, they're not always, like, American, if you can say that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, their English is, like, a thick accent, so you're probably dealing with people from a different country. Mm-hmm. So is that what you're talking about?
But, yeah.
All right.
Like, it's always a challenge, basically. In, like,
explain the challenge,
so
bro.
Does that mean that, like, you only date within your race?
No, not really. Like,
that mean you're a racist?
Nah.
You're putting words in my mouth.
I mean, all right. This is that one of those mindfuck questions. If you only date within your race,
you just
does
prefer
that make you racist?
No, it's like.
Nah, there's some people like that.
Where's your TikTok video, bro?
People have preference.
Where's your TikTok video to that, huh?
People have preference.
What's the timestamp?
But I swear, he twitches after every fucking... Oh, I never thought about that. That's the way that guy looks. I mean, that guy's TikTok famous, but anywho. But yeah, so there's a small pool of single ladies that are waiting.
No, here's like my... Well, to validate his question, right? Mm-hmm. If you were going to marry, would you marry within, like, Hispanic?
My questions do not need to be validated by men.
Yeah, they do right now, sir. All right?
I've been validated. You're just following up.
He's watering it down, basically.
I guess he's watering it down. Yeah, let's say that better, because validation.
No, I'm validating. What would you say?
Come on, where's the stamp then?
It's not...
Parking guy?
It's not just basically dating within, like, you know, only... Hispanics. I'm open to any, like, Asian, black, Hispanic.
You want a smart girl.
I got him.
I mean, I wouldn't mind if someone who watches anime. I wouldn't mind it.
As soon as he said Asian, I was like, this has to do with anime.
Like, I wouldn't mind someone who watches anime. That's like a plus as well. I mean, you know, I wouldn't mind it. Right. But yeah, I'm like, I'm open to anything. But, you know.
So, like, multicultural?
Anything,
yeah, multicultural.
What's anything, though? That's kind of scary.
Multicultural. It's like I'm not afraid to learn about your culture, basically.
Oh, so you would date a Muslim girl?
I'd see how it'd go.
Oh, that's interesting.
Muslim girls are cool to date.
No, I'm saying it because he's Christian.
Salam alaikum, peace
in the Middle East. He's Christian.
I've dated a Muslim girl.
So I'm like, dang,
don't judge me, guys. Like, but when I was dating this Muslim girl, I wouldn't mind.
You were like Nation of Islam.
If it would have gone that deep, I would have converted for her.
Nation of Islam.
Yeah.
Like, if it comes to a point where, like, she's like, it's either like
Christ,
join my religion.
She wasn't
gonna
do that to me either, though.
And then if it's like, and then leave yours.
You don't know that, bro.
I'd be like, she wasn't.
You don't live in that multiverse, bro. You don't know what's gonna happen.
I have a friend who left Christianity to be with his, like, he converted a Muslim to be with his girl.
But that's my thing, because I think, like, for one, I mean,
why not for two? me.
All right, let's make it for four, because somebody's gonna say three. So
let's make it for six.
So it's a 4-point play.
Nah, it's a seven. This is a touchdown.
So it's 7 points.
All right, so yeah, 7 points. When you're in love with somebody, I was in love with this girl at one point, right? Mm-hmm. So I don't think that she was gonna force me. It was more that I was that in love with her that I was willing to compromise my religion. And then I was always open to asking her about her religion.
But then the verse was in your head. No te pongas conmigo desigual. And you're like, I don't know.
I didn't even hear that verse at my That's probably why I was with the Muslim at the first time.
He's like, wait, what was that one verse? It was in my head.
But you know what's funny? You know, like at the end of the day, you know, who knew? Who knows? Like, it could have been flirting to convert. I could have done it too on her end.
Yeah,
but
she might have.
It didn't last
yours.
Long enough. Mm-hmm. You know, I befriended her and then... And then after that, it was like
I had to ask that question, though, because he said anything, bro.
Well, I mean, like, it also depends on the purpose, on the person's type of...
What about an illegal... What about an illegal alien?
Heck, nah.
Nah?
She gotta have papers?
Really?
Dang.
Because that's...
So you don't honesty, you don't import?
No. you don't like foreign goods?
Look, in all honesty...
You don't like foreign goods?
In all honesty, think about this. In all honesty, like, you end up marrying, and then they get papers, and then they leave you.
But
what if, like that all the time.
But what if, I mean, yeah, but you got to be precautious about anything because... But,
I mean, who's to say, right? Hey, who's to say she won't? Say,
bro. Hey, bro, nowadays the law protects you, bro. So you got to be married a couple years
now. Yeah, before, yeah.
Yeah, but...
So he's basically saying that girl could wait out those couple years and then still do you
hey,
and
bro,
dirt.
But in those couple years...
But hey, bro,
you better
honestly,
give her some,
bro...
Get some kids
that way, even look, bro... You
so she don't go nowhere.
Tax deductibles.
You can start your own airline and she still marries you and she has her papers. And then once your airline's doing successful, she'll leave you, bro, and
well,
take
I mean,
half of your
well,
shit.
Well, in that case...
So either way, bro, you're fucked.
So he's going to make her sign a prenup, right?
Do you guys believe in prenups?
Sometimes they work. They don't work successfully.
It depends.
Do you, Manny?
It depends.
Would you even... I didn't sign a prenup, so I'm fucked anyways. But
if I was in that tax bracket,
you would
yes.
sign a prenup?
I would... If I was in that tax bracket and she's joining my team, yeah, she's prenup. Here you go. I'm being real, bro.
Put the fucking camera on that man. He was dead ass serious right there.
He was like...
Hey, girl. I'm the catch here.
Sign here. Initial here.
Hey initial bro, when here. You're in that type of tax
and,
bracket, bro.
Some print right here.
I need a bit of like saliva in there real quick. All right,
you
cool.
See the, you see the...
Prick the thumb, bro. Prick
the
thumb.
Oh, the blood.
Put some little blood on
it. Hey, all right. I feel it. I mean, damn. Honestly, it just sucks. So... That's the pool.
That's if you're in that tax. It's different if you're not in that tax bracket, you know?
Are you like in the department where they're like pushing the airplanes out or fueling them up? What department at LAX are you?
Well, I'm a department.
Just giving the cavity checks. I'm just kidding.
Well, nah.
Sick gang.
That moment, I'm like, I'm out. Put me somewhere else or I'm out.
Like that SpongeBob meme?
Because, like, heck no. But I'm like basically a customer's assistant agent. You know,
so you're in the front where people are bags and like,
yeah.
Also, you're wearing a suit.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Every day. How does it feel?
I mean, it feels tiring at first, but then like the end of the day, like, you know, you're there to like, you know, to make people smile.
Really?
Like, yeah.
That's part of their work.
That's part of the work.
Bro, he probably has some crazy
part of the mission statement.
Of like customers, bro.
Oh, yeah. Plenty.
So, I need my bag to go right now.
Oh, no kidding, bro. Like, they get
every bag need to be expedited.
Yeah, like, they get there 5 minutes late. We're already boarding. And then they're like, you know, I want to send my bag. I'm like, miss, you're like 5 minutes late. We can't. You know, it's all the way to the other side. And look at TSA. I mean, you're not going to make it on time. And she's like, I already have my boarding pass. And I was like, well, I mean, you got two options at this point. You either fly without your bag or you stay and make changes for the next flight. You said, but I got to get on this flight. I was like, okay, I understand. That's why I'm giving you two options. It's your decision whether you want to take it or not. And then...
So you're the dickhead people got to deal with.
No.
I'm just kidding.
I'm basically...
He's like, I'm saying like, that the nice way. He's like, if I got to call the manager, he becomes the...
Yeah, oh, and they're like, you're no help. Let me get your supervisor. I was like, all right, that's no problem. I get the exact same thing I tell them. They tell the client.
Just right.
Exactly.
Just like, reiterate.
So I'm like, what's the point of wasting your time that you could be making it to your flight? And you just argue.
I mean, you're just going to waste time in the end because you were late in the first time.
Well, there's possibilities where she can make it if she runs. Like,
to the flight, yeah.
To the flight.
Yeah.
Like there's moments where we're about to close.
Why is this airport set up like that?
Well, I mean, it's because it's due to the system. Because basically domestic flights, you have to be there 2 hours before your flight. Uh-huh. International, three. Max, four.
Oh shit.
That's why whenever there's a system, when we have so many flights, we're like, you know, we expedite an hour before, then we close an hour before we start boarding because we're on the time schedule. And whether the captain wants to go early, then I mean, you know, we gotta go early.
Also, it's on him if he wants to leave early.
Exactly. Yeah. So once the crew gets there, and then like you know, we tell them how many clients there are, how many services, how many wheelchairs. They're like, you know what? I want to leave early, so let's get them in as soon as possible. And whoever makes it makes it. Whoever doesn't doesn't. Then from that point on, we can be like, no, you know, you see, we have this many clients. We want to make sure, like, you know, it's either like it's his plane, his rules. That's it. Whatever he says goes.
Oh shit!
And then we
I am the captain.
Yeah, basically, he's like, look at me, I am the captain now. Like that matter, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're like, you know, okay, we gotta go how he wants to go.
Have you ever had people that are like randomly just pull up and trying to buy a ticket on it?
Right yeah. There? And they're
is
like,
that usually more expensive or cheaper?
It's more expensive.
It's more expensive
because it's at the airport and it's international. So we're like, you know, just a ticket right here is almost gonna cost you like $300.
Really?
Yeah. And plus, if you want to add like bags and stuff like that, double it.
So I was like, how about when people do those little tricks, bro, and they put their little foot, you know, so it doesn't weigh as much?
Oh no, I make sure that.
Do you catch them?
Oh, always, always. I go.
And they try to lift it.
I go put your bag on the scale. They put it and they're close to it. I go, can you just back up a bit? He's like, I don't want something like that, but I need you to back up due to security reasons.
So they're like 6 feet apart.
No, but I was like,
that would
like,
be your best excuse right now. I'm sorry.
No, funny thing, we have like a little like plastic thing that divides us. So then
I've traveled during this time. Yeah, so I haven't.
So you still have to have your vaccinated. You guys ask for vaccinations and all that shit?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, they do.
It depends where you're flying to. Like if you're flying to Salvador, you do have to have your vaccination cards or your proof of COVID test. But the thing is, like some airlines accept rapid and some don't. They want PCR and they want the proof of when you did it and when you received it. Because it'd be valid within like a time limit. So because sometimes like, you know, oh, I got my COVID vaccines and I got my test. And I go, just your vaccines are fine. So we have to make sure how many vaccines they got. You know, Salvador, now they're doing three. What? Yeah.
Because you have to have your booster with Salvador too now?
I'm not too sure. Like whatever Salvador mandates, you know, it's mandated. But as long as you have two, you're fine. Like you're good to go. Yeah.
That's all.
He was thinking of traveling there. Now he's thinking again.
No, I mean, like, if you have both your shots,
you don't have shit. You're
fine. Well, then you need your COVID test.
So, my thing is, what would happen when I land over there?
Over there,
you would have to check. You have
to present your COVID test, and it has to be valid within that 72-hour. Like,
and then from what I know too, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if you show up to LAX without a COVID negative COVID test or your vaccine card, you can't even board the plane.
No,
it's international. He's talking international.
Talking about international.
International? Like you're saying if you don't have it or
like
if you
let's say
have
you're
it.
Going to El Salvador, you get to the airport, you don't have not a vax card or a negative test, you won't be able to board the flight.
Oh yeah, no, period. You can't. Punta, yeah, you can. As long as you fight it, you can't.
Like cuz as soon as when you get to El Salvador, they're not really going to be checking that stuff.
Has anybody ever tried that type of stuff?
Yeah.
Like slide you some money.
Yeah. So many times. They're like one guy has one shot and he's like, "But I get my second dose within another week." And I was like, is it a Johnson & Johnson? He goes like, no, it's a Pfizer, bro. And I was like, I mean, you really can't do anything unless you get your COVID test.
So even if you have one COVID shot, you need to go get tested.
Well, it depends on your shot, though. Like, Johnson & Johnson is a one dose. You're good to go. You're done. You pass. But if it's a Pfizer, you have to have the both doses.
Or Moderna.
Yeah, Moderna, too. Exactly.
I'm going to just get the pills. Waiting for those.
Oh, that's coming out. Yeah, they're saying that they're gonna do that. The pill.
I'm low-key rather do the pill than
get the shot.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, how are you gonna keep track of like, you know, if you took the pill, are we gonna like stamp it, like how they do the COVID thing, or what?
I'm sure they're gonna make you swallow in front of them. I'm pretty sure you gotta go and then like swallow the pill
in front of me
and be like, let me see inside your mouth that you took.
Nah, I think it's just gonna be
because they gotta give you a little card that you did it.
That's what I'm saying.
Enzo, what's the difference between the pill and the shot?
I don't know. I'm gonna find out when the pill comes out.
I was curious about your opinion because you're.
I don't know. I'll find out when the pill comes out, bro.
Well, the reason I'm asking is because you said
Do you hate shots?
You off bat would rather take the pill.
I just don't know what like. I already don't take a flu shot, but I've taken a tricyclina.
Oh, so you just felt, but that's what I'm saying.
I feel more comfortable with a pill than taking the vaccination. That I'm like,
because I know some people like are not taking the vaccination, but because they are allergic to the compounds in them, so they could die if like they get the shot.
I don't know about that. I personally don't know about that, but I know I had my immunizations as a child. But shit, I don't know about. I just don't feel like the government should be poking me with anything after 13. I mean, they already did it when I was a kid, and I was a kid. I had no say over that, you know? But now that I have a say, shit, I'm good. I'm straight.
Right. It's like you rather prefer the more.
Have they already started, like, firing people from your job because they haven't got the vaccination?
Well, not really. Like, it's like a two-option type of way. It's either, like, one, you show proof of your vaccination card, or two, you get tested every week for COVID. So then, like, there was a whole debate about work. They're like, you know, now they're pushing the vaccine. Well, you need it now. But then I tell them, would you really rather get poked every single week inside your nose, probably messing up your nose system, rather than just getting like
a lot of people do coke already. They're messing.
I mean, but I mean at the same time, like
I was one of the few that could only repost that on Instagram this week. Guys, I didn't see you guys repost that.
Control the little drug,
fucking cokeheads in this room.
I don't follow trends on Facebook and Instagram.
All of a sudden, I don't follow trends. But he started a podcast in the beginning. Of the I'm just kidding.
But I mean, yeah.
Well, how many other people you know have started podcasts? And
a lot. I have a few clients that started it, so that's all I can say. That
I only know one of your clients.
That doesn't mean that's some motherfucker doesn't have equipment.
Same.
But I mean, yeah, you know.
Touche, buddy. So touche.
It's like every day you're facing new challenges. And then you got to think, okay, how can I resolve this?
Anybody ever pulled up and like said bomb and shit? Because you know how there's certain things you can't say in the airport?
Yeah. I mean, we've had so many like people where they just say
they're
nonsense.
They're either drunk or they're just trying to be funny. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah. Like they just seem like it's going to be a sarcastic joke. But I'm like, you're an idiot. You're at an international airport. There's cops around here like 24/7. You say that, they're going to take you down as a freaking criminal. And you're going to, it's going to be to a point where you're not going to be allowed to at least enter Terminal 1.
You're going to have to leave at another terminal.
Exactly. Yeah, you're going to have to like either leave through Ontario or like through Tijuana. But for that, they're going to like see if you're able to fly.
If you're not.
Exactly.
Blacklisted or what is it?
Yeah.
No flight. Like
you're, no fly list. No fly list.
Yeah. Like being blackballed, basically.
Yeah. So like either, be cautious about what you say. Or you either travel through the road at that point. Because, like, there's some people that are idiotic. Like, we've had so many drunk clients.
Yeah, because that's another thing. I have friends that, like, they're scared of flying.
Mm-hmm.
So they like to get buzzed.
Yeah.
Like, before the flight. And sometimes they might go a little overboard. And I know, like, that can happen where, like, they might blur and say things that they shouldn't be saying. Mm-hmm. And, yeah.
Like, we could check them in. We can't deny them the service. We could check them in, but we have to let, like, our superior know, like, our supervisor. We tell them, like, you know, it's before we give him his passport back, we tell him, like, you know, hey, this client's drunk and stuff like that. And then, like, okay, just tell him that he has to sober up before we start boarding. Because, you know, what if he's...
You could throw up in the air.
Exactly. And then, like, what if he starts asking for more drinks inside the aircraft? And inside the aircraft, it's more easier to get buzzed because of the altitude.
I've got it. I remember the last time I was so sober, I was pill popping and I took drink. That was the first time I ever take. I mixed it. I was fucked up. Mm-hmm. And then the way back to, I remember I saved like two pills on my way back from El Salvador to United States. And those shits knocked me out. But I woke up next to a volcano. Like, what the fuck? I showed you guys a fit before the moon. I was like, what the hell is a volcano right there? I was tripping.
Yeah, and then like, you know, we tell
what happens when you find drugs in people's shit?
Oh, in that instance, you know, everything's on halt. Everything, because now they have to debunk the plane. What? Like we've gone through like this whole security issue. They have to debunk the plane,
That means to clear everything off.
Clear everything,
even the crew.
You don't know who did it or who brought it on.
So we have to clear everybody out, and then each one of them pat down until the whole plane is clear. Then from that,
Would you bring a whole new staff as well, or like?
Well, I mean, they would check us as well. Well, I mean, you really can't really get away with it because there's like a bunch of cameras when you're walking down. So like, you know.
So how would you find out there's a drug on the plane though?
So like basically if one person's acting very erratic, starts sweating, like we ask them, are you okay to fly? And they're like, oh yeah, you know, I'm just nervous. But if you keep acting that way, you know, we're like,
okay, yeah, there's tells that you're getting too nervous.
Yeah, you're like, that's kind of a red flag. So that's why we like.
So know. Damn, somebody can still bring coke in a bag because it doesn't smell.
Basically, yeah.
And all they got to do is act cool.
Yeah. And then like there's some instances where like I've seen other airlines where they do have that issue and then they bring the dog. And then once in my mind, I go like, if they bring the dog, it's case over. Done. You're, right. You're done.
You're going to get smelled.
Exactly. And then from that instance, they check the bags. While security and CBP is checking the plane, other officers are checking the bags. And that could cause you like at least 2 to 3 hours delay. So then at the same time, you're like, you know, damn, this flight was supposed to go out on time. And, you know, it just messes with you because like, let's say you have 6 flights. You know, you're working on 2 flights. Now that flight gets delayed. Now you gotta jump on another flight. Yeah. And then you gotta leave one of your coworkers alone to deal with that issue while you start the other flight.
Damn.
So it's like it's a
big.
What
about the issue that I mean? This happened probably like a month ago. The whole issue of when they just told people, "Hey, due to weather, you guys can't fly." Right. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure you know what happened and what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. But it's like,
damn, fuck them. You don't work for them.
But you know what? When that situation happens, like, how do you deal with all those people? Like all those people, you know, being upset and all that. You know.
Yeah, like if in that instance when that does happen,
like a whole
because I'm sure they're all like 200, they want a 200. Refund, they want a hotel, like yeah. Everybody's fighting for something.
I mean, like, and then that instance, like I've seen other airlines, like you know, it has happened to them. And they tell them, like you know. The circumstances of the weather, your flight has been canceled, and then I see it from afar, and you're like it's just a whole bombard, like the clients,
a mob.
Yeah, the clients get up, they're all angry, they start recording, and they're like, you know, we want a refund, we want this, we want that, and then they explain to them, because you know I pass by, because we have like sometimes we share the gates, and then I hear it, like you know we really can't give you a refund because it wasn't due to our issue, it was due to the climate, where they have no control over it. But sometimes the clients really don't like it when you say that because then all of a sudden it's like, you know, no, I paid for this ticket and I want out, like, immediately. But I mean, like, you know, there's really nothing you could do. You know, all we could do is, like, offer you a next departure date, but with no charge. That's it. And then I'm hearing
it. That means you're just using that ticket for the next.
Exactly. Like, we're not charging you. We're not doing anything. We're just transferring you over, basically. You know, we want to get you as soon as out as possible. And, you know, we're sorry that this happened. But, you know, it's like, it's to a point where sometimes.
Have you ever had a Home Alone experience?
A Home Alone experience?
Yeah.
Which one's that one?
Like, you seen the movie Home Alone?
There's a few of them, bro. Give them the scenario.
So, like, a kid gets left and then the mom...
Well, not really, no, because we always make sure, like, you know...
That'd be crazy, man.
Because, like, when a
kid
mother...
just gets left behind.
When a mother flies with us, and she's like, oh, I got my kids with me. We're like, okay, where are your kids? Well, they're coming. Well, we can't board you unless your kids are around you.
Right.
And then, like, we ask how many kids you have. Like, 5. Okay, I want to see 4. Where's the 5th one? And she starts panicking.
That's happened?
And then, like, you know... And then the funniest thing is, like, the kids just walking.
It's like that one movie.
It's like the kids just walking, like, peacefully.
What movie, Mauricio?
Home Alone.
You guys seen that movie where this lady, she designs the plane and everything like that?
Oh, yeah.
And then mid-flight, she falls asleep, and then her daughter just goes missing. And then they check flight records, and they never had Jodie Foster.
The guy from Taken, right?
Jodie Foster.
The guy from Taken has
Liam Neeson.
Yeah.
But Liam Neeson's not in that.
Is it that one?
No, it's Jodie Foster's the
she's the main character, yeah.
That's where, like, the daughter did the heart on the window, right?
Yeah.
And then she's like, I know she was on this plane.
Yeah, and then she ends up being in the bottom of the plane and shit. Like, sleeping.
Yeah.
Who put
her
there
transporting
again?
Her dead husband as well on that plane.
Yeah.
In the casket. Yeah. And she was, like, right next to
you. You sure Liam Neeson is not in that one?
Nah, it's some other dude.
I think you're confusing.
Because I remember a marshal, like, helps her.
I think you're confusing with. I think you're confusing him with Nonstop, because I've seen that movie.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe.
But, I mean, yeah, you know, there's some instances where we're, like,
I think it is Nonstop.
We have to make sure the kids are with you 24/7. Like, you know.
What about pets?
Okay, pets. Now that.
Yeah, bro. What if I want to bring my emotional ostrich, bro?
Okay.
Whoa.
An ostrich? That's
no, because
like,
you know how like people. Okay. What, yeah. You guys banned it. Where like now? I think it's only cat and dogs only. Mm-hmm. Because I remember, like, people were bringing, like, porcupines, iguanas, and that was, like, their emotional pet. That's why I'm being really exaggerating and saying my emotional ostrich.
What if I want to bring my ant farm?
No, I don't think. Yeah, I don't think that's it. Like, what if it breaks and then, like, there's an infestation of ants?
You're a racist tutorial.
Like, racist. But, I mean, the pet, it's, if it's a pet on board, it's fine. But we have to make sure, like, you know, it could make a full turn and then it could sit.
What do you mean a full turn?
So, basically, if a pet goes with you on board or in the belly, it's basically saying, like, there's room for the pet. The pet's not crammed in there.
Oh,
so like it could turn
in its little
in cage.
In its little cage.
So it can go on board with you.
On board with you, but it has to be like those little like foldable foldable fabric cases with like there's pockets where they can be able to breathe, pop their head out, you know, whenever they want to. And you have to have all your vaccination cards, you know, the rabies and all the information. Same thing with the pet that goes underneath the plane.
It's called flight plan. You know?
Oh, the film?
Yeah, Flight Plan.
Flight Plan.
Yeah, really good film. With Jodie Foster.
Man, I like Silence by the Lambs with her. That Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah.
Oof.
What's it? Oh, this called, is the guy that you're thinking is Liam Neeson, by the way.
Oh. Damn. I remember it's like he's a marshal, right?
Yeah,
like, he helps her.
Something like that. And then they're
he
all
helps
like
her investigate.
A little sidetrack question. Since we're talking about ant farms, how do you guys feel about Ant-Man being the sexiest man alive?
What? And then Ryan Reynolds making fun of him?
I don't understand that.
He got voted today. That's
last
why.
Last year was Michael B. Jordan, and I was like, all right, I can understand that. Like, all the girls like that. I ain't never seen a girl go crazy over Ant-Man.
I have not.
Hey, bro.
Some people are different, have different interests.
I don't know, bro. A lot of people out there are too young to remember that Ant-Man is actually that one guy from the 40 Virgin. The one that's going out with the Indian chick.
When
that brings the big box of porn to Andy.
Yep.
He's like, no, Andy, I don't want to watch School of Cock with you. See, I would see if he was the sexiest man alive back then. Because he was younger. Now he's 52.
This fool's old.
Old fart.
Yeah, but he's a wild boy.
Come
too.
On. I mean, if you were George Clooney,
he does some crazy pranks too. Wild boy.
Pause. Wild boy.
Pause. Wild boy. He is, man.
No, but yeah, like going back to the
LAX,
the pets like underneath. That is like, you know, same thing. The cage has to be big enough for the dog to make a full turn, lay down, and be comfortable. So we have to make sure. And then if it's not,
how secure is the dog underneath the plane?
So this is how we do it. The way
cage is flying crazy, bro.
The way that we do it is once we have to call TSA so they can approve the cage. So once they approve of it.
So no big dogs, right?
Yeah, no, big dogs are allowed.
Big dogs too?
Big dogs are allowed, but it has to be like to a point where it doesn't pass the dimensions of it.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because I know that there's a limit in weight and dims because you also need to space and organize everything. There's a certain amount that you can't go over.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So then like it's to a point where sometimes if it's like the cage is too big, we just... it's just a charge of like oversize, basically. Mm. It's like it's just too big. But the pet's still gonna travel.
So I'm assuming a horse can't be taken.
Oh heck no. No.
Ever. Ever. You probably can, bro, on DHL. If it's just like a freight transfer. Not a plane that's meant for people.
Yeah.
It has to probably be a cargo thing.
It's like
let's say I wanna take my car with me.
It has to be a cargo plane.
So, have you ever had anybody?
That's
like,
what Formula
ask you for
Formula One does. Bro.
Never
DHL.
Really?
Never.
Like a rich billionaire, like I want to just go first class. But I want to take my Maserati with me.
Well, I mean, we tell them like, sir, in that instance, you have to speak with cargo.
Oh, and like you direct them to cargo.
Yeah, we tell them like, you know, cargo's in this location, so if you want to go speak to them, you can go speak to them.
Really? So
yeah,
because usually at LAX, you see cargo planes like a lot, FedEx.
Mm-hmm.
UPS,
yep,
and like some internationals, they
DHL.
They take cargos.
DHL, man.
Like if they're big enough, they'll ship cargo.
And you paying?
Yeah,
they'll ship your shit.
The max, I think most of them only take about to 1,000 pounds, I believe.
Yeah, because like if the captain.
No, but I'm saying like per package, like that's the max that you can do on a freight package. If you're gonna do like a freight air,
it can't go like over because now it's like you're putting the plane at risk of
exactly
coming down.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's some videos, like, we saw videos during our training where, you know, a tank was being deployed with a cargo plane. And then it got unhooked from the inside, so it wasn't safely secured.
So it messes up the weight distribution.
So the tank comes rolling down. It comes rolling down, and you see the plane take off, and it just hits. It just goes down automatically.
Everybody died?
Everybody dies.
Shut up.
The plane blows up.
Because bad weight distribution.
Yeah, yeah, and you're mixed with like firepower, oil, acid, and the fuel.
And the fuel's in the wings.
Yeah, and the fuel's like burning hot.
So how probable is it that... someone walking down the street gets hit with poop that gets taken out of the airplane.
Like, underneath the plane and then...
You know how, like, because I was seeing an article recently where this guy was walking, he was in Arizona or something, and, like, really
they released human feces on him from the airplane.
Nah, like, how airplanes work, like, there's a special tank for waste distribution.
Yeah.
And so they collect it there, right?
Exactly.
They don't release it from the sky.
The only way that it's able to be dispersed is through a special tool where they open it and the valve is open to distribute the waste.
Yeah, it's like a little canister.
Yeah.
And it's also close to the wing where it goes.
Pretty sure there's a button next to the cockpit that it's... Like, why you gotta say cockpit? Messes up and he just...
Because he's just being Mauricio, bro.
Cockpit. No, but yeah, like, you know, they take us in through the planes. They take us like through a whole training, how the plane works, how to board a plane if it's a big size. Because if it's like a medium sized plane, we could be like group one, two, three, four, how many groups ever we have because of the big of the plane.
I just random question that came into my head. Do they also teach you like the different models and brands and all that?
Yeah.
Like this is a Boeing, this is an Airbus, this is an A320,
yeah,
757, all that?
All that.
Okay.
All
that.
Like they tell us, oh, you know, we're gonna have the new Airbus 320, 321 or
the Dreamliners.
Or Boeing, yeah. Or like the Boeings, like
the 777s.
The 777s. Sometimes when we see like the two-story ones, I call them double-deckers.
Yeah.
Because I go by that analogy. I was like, oh, you know, we're going to be... They're going to be using a double-decker but plane because of the two levels. So in that instance, you know, it's a specific way to board the flight.
When's the last time you took a flight?
The last time I took a flight was like in 2019, so before the whole pandemic happened.
You haven't been...
No.
How was your experience? Did you still work throughout
the pandemic? But also, you get miles through your job, don't you? Or you get discounts?
Well, it depends.
Like if you wanted to...
It depends on your seniority though, because I'm still basically considered like as a new person.
How long you been there then?
So it's gonna be like 2 years next year.
And you're still considered a new person?
Yeah.
Wait, what? Damn.
Yeah. So like you have to like basically climb up the ranks up there.
They pay decent.
Yeah. They pay decent.
That's cool.
So like, let's say you have like a big aircraft. The way that you board it is like half of the back, half of the front, because you don't want the plane to tilt backwards or tilt forward.
Weight distribution.
Exactly.
What if like, let's say you have a very obese client.
We really can't deny him the service, because that's basically, if we deny him the service, that's basically like discrimination towards that person.
Really?
Yeah.
So is there a special seat for him?
Yeah. Like, we...
Do you have to like make them buy two tickets?
No. There is instances where if he's able to sit like in one seat, he's cool. It's just the only issue would be like the seatbelt. So we give him like an extended seatbelt.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So where they just clip it for safety. So it's over there.
Extension to the same seatbelt.
Over there, same thing. You know, if a kid's flying by himself, we ask, you know, where's your adult? Oh, we're like, where's your guardian? You know, where's your parent or your uncle? Like whoever brought you here. Like, oh, he's over there. We're like, all right, we can't check you in by yourself, but he has to be here present. And then, you know, the parent has to come, and we tell him like, you know, you gotta fill out paperwork. Because he's a kid.
Oh, when they want to let him fly alone?
Yeah. So we tell him, like, you know, we give him a bunch of paperwork, and then start complaining, like, man, you guys give up so much paperwork. I go, well, it's because he's a kid. You know, look how big this place is. He might get lost. He might get on a different flight. We want to secure him that, you know, he gets on this flight and not on a different flight.
Right.
So then.
Has that ever happened? Kid gets lost?
No.
Damn, that's kind of dangerous.
Like, if a kid does get lost.
No one was lying.
Like, if a kid does get lost and we see that he's lost, we go straight towards the gate. Like, you know, where's your parents at? Where you're flying to? And like, you know, do you have a cell phone? Do you know their number? Do you know who, you know, what's their name? And then we go to like the nearest intercom, and then we page, you know, so-and-so parents, your son is here looking for you guys. He'll be here. because the main priority is not to move from the spot that you found the child. So you don't have to be like going up, the parents come, have to go up, you go down, you get me? So in that instance, you know, it's like if a kid gets lost, it's like your main priority is like to make sure the kid goes to the parent on time.
Damn. From that point on. And then when you guys are landing in the, or if they're landing over there, you guys make sure that they're going to get picked up by the right person too?
Yeah. Like we, before we hand, like, because we have a bunch of parents, like, they just want to run inside and receive the kid. And they can't, we're like, we tell them, you know, you got to wait right there. You're like, nobody's my kid. I go, I understand that. But due to security, I have to make sure it's you who's picking them up.
Where's your ID?
So, that, yeah, we ask for their ID. And
what happens if somebody doesn't have an ID?
Well, we tell them, like, I mean, you know, we really can't give them, we can't turn them into you.
Well, we have Thanksgiving in a couple weeks. And then after that, we have
Christmas.
So tell me about the holiday season, brother.
No, hold on. I still wanted to ask him about the COVID. How did COVID impact your work? Did you work through COVID?
No, I didn't. They laid me off because from that point on, it was going to be basically almost a year. Yeah. So then they told me, like, you know, due to the pandemic, we only went, like, you know, vets during this flight. And I was like, you know, it's cool. I understand. So then I was able to do, like, a lot during the pandemic.
Holiday season, bro. Tell me how.
Hold on. You didn't even finish your stop, bro.
I went, like, to Texas through uh-huh. road. So I was like, it was a good experience. And on my way back, you know, they started calling me back to work. Oh, so it actually worked really well. They were like, you know, okay, you know, we need you back because we're getting more flights. So I was like, all right, cool.
Like I said, bro, aviation pays.
Back, let's jump back on the train. Let's jump back where we left off.
Right.
You know.
And then you just got back on it like nothing ever happened.
Exactly. Like, you know.
Just masked up. That was the only difference.
Yeah, that's basically it. That's
crazy. Masked up, gloves. You were saying the Thanksgiving's coming up? What were you saying?
Oh, there's going to be a lot of flights.
Oh, yeah. Max, like, almost eight, seven.
How's that season for you?
Thanksgiving and Christmas are like the most busiest ones ever, you know, because people want to fly out. I feel like because with
how many hours would you say you work during that season a week?
Season a week, I'd almost like work.
Like we're talking about, like let's say this Thanksgiving week coming up. How many hours do you think you'll work?
Probably like 4.5. Sometimes there's points where I like almost worked up like 7 hours.
Straight.
Seven hours. Max.
But I'm talking about like in a week.
In a week?
Yeah.
In a
you
week,
guys have those busy vacation schedules where there's holidays coming up. What do you?
In a week, I'd say like almost 36 hours, but minus lunch would be like you minus the 30 minutes of the lunches, it'd be like almost 30 hours.
But is that like your regular week?
Nah, like I go schedule by schedule.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, like it depends, like, you know, whenever.
But I'm pretty sure even those 36 hours is hectic.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Hectic. Yeah. I feel that.
You know, you got to make sure the flight goes out on time. You got to make sure of everything.
We're
like
dealing
there.
With people, man.
Yeah. Well, that's the life at LAX, guys. But I
have a quick question for him real quick. Anthony, what's the most challenging part of your job, you could say?
The most challenging part is like when you go to customs and they ask for a translator.
So you have the translator
in
Spanish?
Yeah, I do. Oof. They're like, you know.
And then if you don't understand their Spanish?
Yeah. But there's most times where I understand it. They're like, you know, they ask the sort of questions and I respond to them. And the officer looks at me. I've been tested once where this officer knows Spanish, but he was like acting dumb. And then I walk away and he goes like, you know, he calls me over and I go, yes, sir, do you have any other questions? He goes like, see, I know Spanish, but I was testing you to see if you're telling me the truth.
Why do these people do that? What authority do they have to do that to you?
Because basically, like, you know, if I'm lying, I'm helping them come into the country. Because sometimes, workers. Exactly. Because sometimes, what happens, like they
are you watching Narcos?
Bro.
That never happened in Narcos, and I hadn't seen Narcos all fucking.
Bro, they give coke to pilots to take over. What are you talking about?
Yeah. Bro, but we're talking about somebody that's like
still
a pilot.
The airlines,
we're
bro.
Talking about a pilot, though. We're not interviewing a pilot. We're interviewing somebody that works under a pilot.
Well, we did interview
bro.
A pilot. Shout out to Alex Iwan. Hey, episode 5.
He's not really that kind of pilot yet. He's not a commercial airplane. He was doing like.
No, bro.
I don't even think I was
exactly, bro. You weren't here.
I wasn't there
for
that, bro.
He's not a commercial.
All I've seen on his Instagram is like his private flights, like him and like
but
little,
he doesn't post because of the stuff that he signs. The way he signs.
Nah, he posts things from his cockpit, bro.
I haven't seen it. Like,
I mean, like some.
Nah, but what I'm saying is that he doesn't post like what airline he works for and all that. But he does fly commercial. Like, he is a trained pilot.
Like, see, I mean, I'm not mentioning the company that I work for. I'm just saying, like, you know, what happens during the whole job process. It's like, you know, Like, they do have the authority because basically, if I'm lying to them, helping them get men into the country is because sometimes...
No, but my thing is authority to want to test you like that. Like, to be like, you seem like you're going to do country dirty, or you're going to allow something like...
Well, because the biggest thing is like...
Like, what suspicion did you give, Anthony?
The biggest thing there is like, if the passenger's like crying and like pleading...
You get compassionate and compromise your job because of that
exactly. person. Like, are you willing to sacrifice your job just to help this person come in?
Why would somebody be crying to come in?
Because sometimes, like, you never know if whatever they're facing is true or not. Like, you know, when this
cries. If a woman's crying in front of you, dog.
Like, are you not going to have sympathy?
That scenario.
Yeah. Like, a woman with kids.
You just
want
to take pity over her.
But yeah. That's what I'm saying. Like, why would a custom agent not allow a woman that's crying in the country? What is
because
the reasoning behind...
They're not
what
a pity party, bro.
Because...
It's not a pity party, bro.
Yeah, but why? This like, is facts obviously, over feelings, obviously if you have a fucking... if you have a passport, that means you're able to get around, right?
No.
Nah.
So then that's what I'm asking. What is impeding them from getting through? Why would she start crying?
Like, basically, it would be like if they overstayed. Because they'd be like, when's your return flight? They go, within like 2 weeks. Are you sure? Yeah. Can I see your ticket? Here it is. Okay. Then they stamp it. Okay, you have to be out within these 2 weeks. Okay, that's fine. Then they stay for 6 months. And then that's when they halt them. You're like, you know, you overstayed for 6 months. What was the reason why? And you're coming back again? Why? And then, you know, that's when
the questionnaires start.
Exactly.
Happening.
That's when they ask you, why are you here? Are you working? Who's here? Who are you visiting? So that's when they get bombarded with questions. Mm. That's when they start getting nervous.
See, that's what I was just trying to clarify. And for my listeners too, you know, audience, like, you're just throwing some vague stuff out there. It's like, yeah. No, what is the context of why this lady would start crying? Like, what pressure is she under?
Well, it doesn't. Exactly. It could be anything, though. And there's a lot of people who get emotional just to get emotional,
and people
get
needed examples of... I mean, to be honest, like, I mean, I don't know.
Let's be real. He's dealing with emotional people all day.
I mean, but... Yeah. Like,
and he's got to become numb to that. Like,
and that's
to
why
perform
I'm
his job.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that's why I was asking for examples of what is something that would bring emotion out that much to somebody that starts crying at the airport.
Like, legit, I've learned this, like, over the job. I was like, you know, it comes to a point where once you clock in, you put your emotions aside.
I mean, that's any job, though.
Like,
honest,
you just... Shit. You're just like that person. Like, you can't take sympathy over them. Like, you know, like, you know,
business
I'm here to...
Business, strictly financial.
Like, I'm here to meet my son. Okay, I understand that. But, I mean, whatever he says, it goes. I have no authority over him.
So, at the end of the day, the customs has majority authority in the whole airport.
Yeah.
Even over the cops that be around.
Well, basically, the cops that are there, they work for the airport. So, it's like, it's basically, it depends the branch that you're in. If you're in customs, you're in customs. If you're protecting the airport, you're protecting the airport. You know, I've heard so many stories of there, like, you know, in Terminal 2, I believe there was like a shooting, like not too long ago, like a couple years back.
I was gonna ask
and then,
you
like,
about that real quick.
Like a TSA agent got killed over that.
Really?
And like from that point on, they shut the whole airport down. Like they cancel flights, you know, they make sure that person is dealt with, and then they do investigation.
I was gonna ask you last question before we move on to the episode of the podcast. About firearms.
Mm.
How does somebody legally take a firearm on board?
So basically that...
Has it been done internationally
No.
also?
International is not permitted at all.
Really?
Not at all.
You can't take an international...
You can't. Domestic is allowed. International, not at all.
What? Yeah. So if I was going to El Salvador and I'm...
you can't.
I had to call El Salvador or what?
No, basically what happens is like you have to have it either shipped to you, like regular cargo, like regular mail.
Uh-huh.
You can't take it with you on board.
What about under the belly? Not
nope.
Tampoco?
Tampoco.
So it's only domestic?
Only domestic.
Interesting.
Until like...
All these
TikTok people.
Exactly.
Yeah. Hunting where?
Like within the country.
Oh yeah, for sure. But
I'm
assuming like, what if you're like, I mean, I would only assume maybe a secret agent or a...
Well, I mean, yes.
Or like guys like that have the authority or the pass to do stuff like that.
Well, they can probably conceal carry.
Yeah,
but internationally, the laws in other countries are different. That's what I was asking.
But they have to be informed that...
Exactly.
They have to be international police at that point. They're the ones that can...
I would say like CIA or...
No, like Interpol, all that.
Interpol
like,
for sure.
Interpol does have the green light.
Yeah, that's Interpol, bro. I have a client that was Interpol.
I'm saying international police. That's what Interpol is.
But I'm talking about CIA and like Secret Service. I feel like they would be able to, you know...
I mean, Secret Service, for the most part, they're on their own aircraft.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, CIA...
You're still landing... I mean, they're not private, bro. It's the country's plane. My taxpayer pays for that plane. It's not private.
But it's private to them, right?
mean, they're using it, but that doesn't make it.
But private, it's private to them, bro. Right?
None, none of us can go on that plane, bro. That's what it, that's what the, mean, that's,
what do you mean, bro? Like, bro, you know how many,
we're
going to
get stuck in technicalities now?
Yeah, just because our taxpayers pay for it doesn't mean that we can board that flight.
Hold on, let me just say something real
quick. I'm not saying I'm going Air Force One today.
I'm not saying that either, bro, but I'm saying, like, y'all acting like it's...
My tax money paid for it.
Y'all acting like it's a private plane, like a shuttle, like a little private...
Bro, it is, dog. It literally is. They have a bed on that shit. They have everything on there, bro.
Bro, mad planes have beds on. I mean, in the sense that, like... Oh shit, it's privately owned. No, bro, it's owned by the country. The Air Force One is owned by the country. It's not owned by a private company, unless you really want to get technical.
You know what
be
the
like,
private company
oh,
is called?
The Corporation of America.
There you go.
But is it really?
I had to tell you that. I had to tell you that.
Bro, like, I told you that.
He's like, let me get your facts straight.
But, all right, let's go on. What are the things you want to ask us, Maury?
All right, man. Well, right now, we didn't have Sports Wave this week, so we're going to have a little Sports Wave segment. Of it right now. So
well,
first thing is
cover that
OBJ
day.
Cleared waivers. OBJ cleared waivers, and then he's kind of named his suitors that he wants to go after, and one of them is the good old Saints.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He also named the Chiefs, and I think I want to say the Rams as well, but he named those teams. Oh, the Packers. My bad. So it was the Packers, the Chiefs, and the Saints. Earlier in the week,
the
he said
Seahawks,
the Seahawks.
Why not them Rams, bro? Like, huh? How about them Rams?
I don't know,
bro?
Man.
About them Rams. Them Rams.
I think the Rams was also a viable option, but it's just...
It's just because they're taking all these old players. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, OBJ's not old. He's far from it.
I mean, they just
old
released Deshaun Jackson, so it's not really...
Yeah, I think that he's looking to go to a team that that really, really needs him in a sense.
That he'll be primary.
Yeah, because he doesn't want to be like, for example,
secondary.
Cooper Kupp is handling it here in L.A.
He wants more reps, basically.
Yeah, Saints would be the perfect option because Mike Thomas is out.
Need a wide receiver.
And they need a wide receiver. The Chiefs need a wide receiver really desperately as well. The Packers, I mean, it'd be another weapon for Aaron Rodgers next to Devontae Adams. And
That's even if Aaron Rodgers is there next year.
Well, all this right now, this is for right now. This isn't even about next year. This has to all do with the next 6 months and the next... next 6 weeks, better said.
So he should go to the Chiefs, right, where he can win a Super Bowl?
He can win a Super Bowl with all the teams we just mentioned, actually. And the Chiefs are actually
Saints
the worst.
The Saints don't even got a QB.
The Chiefs are the worst team in that after, actually, of all the teams I just mentioned.
Who are they getting, Byron?
Taysom Hill's got to come back.
I mean, it doesn't matter, bro.
This guy got a smile saying
I got faith in my team.
First of all,
he's saying it like they're going to the Super Bowl, man.
First of all, right now, the way the Saints work, bro, is that they're kind of a plug-in type of thing. As long as they have a competent quarterback right there, they're going to make it happen. And I think they should just go after Cam Newton and stop bullshitting because...
That's what I've been saying.
They
but
don't
this guy has been saying
waste
no. And I'm like, just
For not having a stable quarterback, they're still having a good season.
I'm like, he's a decent quarterback to just pick up and have.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would suggest getting Cam Newton for sure.
I'd say the same thing.
Especially for the rest of the season. For the Saints, bro?
Yes, you bro. Saints fan. You heard it. I said it too. They
Cam
should
Newton
pick up Newton.
It's done in the NFL, bro.
Nah, bro. Hell no.
What did he do with the Patriots? Nada.
That's the Patriots, bro.
And that's the Patriots.
Well,
Bill Belichick.
Patriots.
Are you serious?
The Patriots are
you sound like a very uninformed NFL player, bro. Bill Belichick, best. Come on.
I think the thing about Belichick is he's a different style of coaching.
Bro, he got a rookie looking good.
In all honesty,
he has a rookie looking good, but look at the style.
You got
look
a Cam
at the style.
Newton. He's a former
but
MVP.
Cam Newton
look
doesn't
at the style.
Play
that
style.
Yeah,
that
style
bro.
Is different.
He
and
doesn't
Bill
fit into that system.
Bill Belichick,
bro.
If you've noticed too, bros, he always makes sure that defense is gonna bail out that quarterback.
Cam Newton
as well.
Does not need to be in a Saints jersey.
Yeah, but at the same time.
I think it wouldn't be the worst idea.
He should go to Denver Broncos before he goes to the Saints.
At the same time,
Teddy Two Gloves. You guys are trying to get Teddy Two Gloves off of us, and we didn't trade him for you.
The Broncos, bro?
Look, at the same time.
But at the same time, we have Teddy Bridgewater, so it's like, why are we going to have two quarterbacks do the same thing?
Who's to say?
Look, in all honesty.
Liability.
You guys need it for liability right now.
In all honesty, since Brady left, like a lot of people were saying, oh, Cam Newton better perform at the exact same level as Brady. But I mean, at the same time, you can't compare yourself to like a person who has like what, 6 or 7 like champion rings. I mean, Brady's
of course
a goat.
Not. Brady, he's a goat, but exactly. I feel like the coach is a great coach.
Yeah.
He's a great coach, but just because you're a great coach doesn't mean that whoever you pick up is going to be good in your system.
I mean,
Cam Newton for me, like if you look at it prior, like his college years, really amazing. He just He just hasn't clicked yet. Now,
Cam Newton clicked in the NFL already, bro. He had a damn near perfect season, went to the Super Bowl, and lost to the Broncos.
But that was that time.
I mean, that was But he that could was go to the prime. Saints. That was his prime.
You don't
now,
think he can replicate that at the Saints?
Fuck no, bro. Nah,
I doubt it.
So he couldn't do that with the I don't think that it's going to
replicate. He's not going to do that with
Sean Payton, bro.
But look, let me put it to you this way, Enzo.
Bro, you can't
Sean
put it to
Payton,
me, no
what
way.
Sean Payton has managed to do with
that dude.
Let me finish, bro.
I'm not. That's just
first of all, Sean Payton has had what now two, three different
he's
quarterbacks.
On my team, that's
he had Teddy Bridgewater.
Shit,
the system allowed him to win 5 games without Drew Brees. Now with Jameis Winston, he was having success as well. I think that the system
Teddy
will
Bridgewater
allow,
to me has been a better quarterback since he came in the league. Better than Cam Newton.
Well, Cam Newton only had
bro. Why did Cam Newton have a phenomenal year that year? His defense was phenomenal too, bro. The whole fucking team was
his defense was whack.
What are you
wasn't
talking
that, wasn't,
about,
it wasn't
bro?
That like elite like
it
that.
It was elite. That's why they made it that far. They were 16-0, bro.
Really,
lost in the Super
really
Bowl,
made him,
bro.
What really made him great that season was that wide receiver.
You
had Benjamin, was it?
You don't have a...
And then that foot got overweight
both
after that.
Ends of the floor. You don't have a near-perfect season without having both ends of the floor play at elite levels, bro. You're
offense,
tripping, bro.
Offense and defense.
And defense, fam. The only thing that difference, guess what the difference was in the Super Bowl?
I mean, the Super Bowl.
Your boy was, Peyton Manning was there, bro.
He was an elite, though.
But
he was
the
competent.
Difference. He was the difference.
Competent.
Because that defense on the Broncos side
aspect,
was
you
a
could
little
say
bit
that
better.
Cam
than the,
Newton was the elite one.
No, listen to what I'm saying, bro.
Well, I mean, you're going against an all-time, sometimes
great.
MVP at the same
That's
time.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
and
but
then,
he was like, Peyton Manning was all they needed. Because the defense was that much better than the offense. It was an age Peyton Newton. I mean, Sean, what's his name? Fucking
Peyton Newton.
Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning.
Look, what I'm trying to say is that with Sean Payton, that coach, he has the ability to bring in a quarterback and help him. Because he's not just he's more of an offensive guru, in my opinion, compared to Bill Belichick.
Yeah,
Sean Payton is
to me,
especially with all the weapons he has right now. Alvin Kamara,
he can't
you guys have that
down.
One tight end. You guys have that other Ricky.
Down, he doesn't have check down. He doesn't have pocket presence, bro. And he doesn't have an arm anymore, bro.
Yeah, that's the thing I was gonna point out.
Bro,
he doesn't really have accuracy.
Like dog.
But at this point,
we're talking
who else would you get then?
Tyson Hill. Just let him rock out.
But even then, he's not playing him.
Then there's that other dude that they had playing last week.
Trevor Siemian
was
fucking
already,
up.
Well, still, let him rock. I'll take him over fucking Cam Newton any day, bro.
They should have gotten Blake Bortles before the Packers did.
I'm not taking Cam Newton, bro. I'm sorry. Like, he showed me enough of nothing with Patriots.
To a point where basically you're like, you know what I mean?
If he would have been like, dog, this was balling, all right. And they trade for him? All right, bro, he got cut, bro.
I'm going to give you one more example, and this is transitioning us into our next sports wave.
Hey, bro, he can become your next Drew Brees, bro.
No.
Well,
no.
It's trash for...
Forget
that's why your mic was turned off.
Before that, before you even go there, let me say this, bro. There's a player right now in the Lakers that was being counted out year after year. Didn't even play for a whole year, and then he was able to come back and do something. I'm just giving you that example.
I did not count him out. I was one of the guys.
I'm not saying you specifically. Let me finish this point.
Because you're making that point.
Under the right system, he might flourish. Who knows? We don't know that. I think that I'm not saying sign Cam Newton for like a 5-year deal. I'm saying sign him for the rest of the season.
Okay.
See what happens, bro.
You're comparing
that's what I'm
Cam
saying.
Newton
to Carmelo. Yes. That's
and
what
let
I'm
me
Carmelo.
let me tell you how it's a difference. Carmelo could still shoot the ball at a great. You've seen it already. And Cam Newton doesn't have an arm anymore. Lacks accuracy.
Bro, can you tell me who
and is always injured too?
Can you tell me right now who's like what are the weapons on the Patriots that are gonna like giving Cam Newton that help and stuff like that? It's not really there.
The division sucks too, bro. It was for the taking and you didn't do shit.
What are you talking about? The Bills are there. The Bills are a great team, bro.
I mean, now. But like
the last two seasons they have been.
Yeah, now. That's what I'm
ever
saying.
Ever since they got Josh Allen.
It's their time now. But like Cam Newton could have had a time in that division too and he didn't do nothing,
but
bro.
But he just like, to me, at least if they would have like a good running back and like he was able to like, but you got to also look at the weapons, bro. Why do you think Taysom Hill and also Jameis Winston are able to have success in the system that's in New Orleans is because they also have Alvin Kamara, bro, that relieves so much pressure off of a quarterback.
And now we have Mark Ingram.
You know what I mean? And they, now they have Mark Cuban, so they're sharing the duty back there. And I feel that's why I think Cam Newton would be able to flourish a bit more because of that.
Bro, do you remember?
And in the Patriots, they don't have that stuff, bro.
Look, because Bill Belichick...
They don't even have a wide receiver
Bill
like that
Belichick
anymore.
Bill Belichick will go off the street, an unsigned guy, sign him, and then he becomes somebody, bro. He's done that before.
But right now,
we're talking about receivers and weapons, not the quarterback, because quarterback didn't come from the streets. It was Brady at one point. He would get guys from the street that 3 weeks ago were doing something else, and then all of a sudden they're playing wide receiver.
He would basically be like, you know, I see talent in you.
Yes,
and he would
bro.
Push him towards that talent.
But you also got to realize that he saw that where they can be plugged into the system and
yes,
they're going to pop.
So exactly.
The
because,
genius
and
of Bill Belichick
I feel like
said,
right
I'm going to cut this guy because he's not, he don't got nothing.
That Patriots squad was not something that was going to help Newton flourish, in my opinion. That's why I feel like, for example, I think
I'm gonna
the Saints have the system for him, the weapons for him. If he goes to the Saints and has those weapons and they still fuck up, then I'll be like, bro, you really don't got it no more.
Well, I mean,
you
because like
no
because
bro,
like sometimes maybe you're
meant have it anymore.
Maybe because his mentality was like, you know, I'm in with Bill Belichick, you know, the guy who was with Brady. I don't want to mess up, you know. At the same time, he might be like,
to me,
you know,
he didn't take the opportunity how he should have. He should have took it by the horns.
Yeah, that's because he took it for granted.
Right, for granted.
He's like, you know, just because I'm here,
he
made it to the top.
He was too playful. He thought that bag was secured, and it wasn't. Because that rug got pulled under his legs real quick.
It would be meant to see. What do you guys think about OBJ? Do you think he goes to the Saints, though? You think you want him there?
I'll take him.
He'd be a cool...
I'll take him.
Look, he'd be cool to sell jerseys, but this is my thing on OBJ.
He's still coming back from an injury,
because he's a drama queen?
Nah, not even that he's a drama queen, bro. What has he done since the catch? What crazy season has he had since the catch?
He had a good season with the Giants. He had an alright season with the Browns before he got injured.
Well, I mean, he was having an alright season because he didn't complete the season that season. He got hurt.
In all honesty, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. What has he done since the catch?
I've seen OBJ's highlights when he was with the Giants. And in all honesty, I mean... Whenever,
to me, he's a mediocre receiver.
The catch whenever,
was a phenomenal, historical one-handed catch that went viral.
But the thing
all
is that in his first 4 years, you know, his numbers was just as good as Jerry Rice's.
Well, yeah, but a lot of wide receivers.
No, not a lot of them have those same numbers as Jerry Rice.
A lot of wide receivers, their first few years are good. They're having decent years because they haven't been figured out. There's still coaches and schemes that they have to play against these guys. Once they figure them out, oh, this guy's gonna lock them down.
It's like they haven't unlocked their prime level yet at that point, at that instant. Like,
or they haven't got figured out by the defensive coordinators on the other team.
Exactly.
Well, right now we're also watching the Lakers play right now against the Miami Heat.
Over OBJ, man, fuck it, huh?
Yeah, no OBJ.
You don't like what he was hearing, huh?
What do you guys think about? What do you guys think
turn
about
off
LeBron,
his mic? Turn
LeBron
off his mic.
Being out of the Lakers right now. What does that mean for them?
He's testing them, bro.
Yeah,
that's what you
testing
think.
At that
they
point,
can play without them.
That's what you think.
Yeah, I mean,
his coach.
I think
about
age
it.
Is showing now.
I have heard people say that LeBron's fine, that he is doing that,
yeah.
Letting Russell also find
his rhythm.
It's basically like it's
because
Ramona Shelburne said that.
He's also got to get Russell's Ramona. Teammates have to get used to Russell with the ball. And the thing is that when LeBron's on the floor, I noticed that at the beginning too, where like his teammates were just throwing the ball to him.
Everything
and he
flows.
Would get pissed and he would be like, no, give the ball to Russell.
Yeah.
So
basically when LeBron would be on the floor, he'd be like, you know, just give it to LeBron because he'll score. He'll make threes, he'll make under the net, he'll make them all, he'll dunk on people. But I feel like what LeBron wants to do is like give Westbrook his time to shine as well. Like
the chemistry.
Do you guys see his frustration though?
I mean, yeah, because like at the same time, you know, he knows the team has it in him, but at the same time, he feels like the team only depends on him and that's what he doesn't want. Like if you would see sometimes like back then with Kobe, he would do the exact same thing. He would be like, you know, sub me out. And how would the team would perform? Sucky at first, but at the same time, they would get back in there.
Kobe would be like, get my ass back in there, bro.
Yeah, Kobe would
I mean, if they were losing like drastically, then yeah, I would be like, you know, coach, get my ass back in there. But at the same time,
Kobe,
like,
I saw Kobe just get up and go to the scoreboard. He didn't even.
Exactly.
But
he spent his time at that free throw line.
LeBron is.
He's just testing him.
I feel like he's all, honestly, I feel like he's ginger. He's not 100%. And they rather not risk at his age and what he means to playoff basketball for the Lakers.
Especially with the talent that they have.
Because remember, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, this guy got hurt in Christmas game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the groin injury.
Mm-hmm. So, and what is the injury he's out right now with?
Groin injury.
Groin injury.
They said groin?
I believe so.
I think it's, they're saying like the first time when he fell down at the beginning of the season, they were like, oh, he aggravated his hamstring. And then the second injury where I think they fell on him again, it was his ankle, high ankle sprain they were saying. Yeah. But this is also where I feel his age is coming around and his humanity showing that he's not going to be able to Iron Man.
Isn't that what Redick said today too? I believe he was telling Stephen A. He's like, this is the first time I see LeBron looking human.
He said that? Damn, that's crazy. No, I didn't see that.
He said that today.
I just think that it looks like that because, bro, when I see the frustration, like, have you guys seen when, like, LeBron is, like, sidelined and he's just, like, holding his glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They started making the memes. I got to trade this
whole
team.
Exactly, yes. Like, to me, guys, I feel like, you know, I feel like LeBron is just... He doesn't want to play her, but he's looking at it like it's starting to frustrate him. Like, damn, am I gonna have to come out of this injury and like get us a couple wins over 500? Because right now they're 5-5 or 6-5.
6-5, I believe.
Yeah, this was gonna try a three.
It's going.
Sorry, you guys, we're silent because it's the last second.
One, two, three.
He's gonna try a three. I knew it.
De verga.
I knew it. Overtime.
Bro, why?
5 more minutes. All right.
But yeah,
according to this article, it says according to this article, it says he has a rectus abdominal strain.
What is that?
English, please.
I have no idea. Yeah, I would have
the
to
layman's term, sir.
We'll come back to that.
What injury is?
But
what part of the body, sir?
This weekend, it says AKA abdominal strain.
I was about to say probably because abdomen. I heard that. This weekend we had another head to head versus with boxing versus UFC. I want to ask you guys, which one did you guys feel was more entertaining with the two main events?
What I would want to know, I don't know if the numbers are out there, is which pay-per-view made more money? Like that,
That is an interesting question, sir. Well, Let's find out.
Before we go deeper into it, what were you? Would you find more entertaining, Manny?
Canelo or I would say Kamaru? UFC. I would say if you want to put those two matches.
Yeah, the main events. We're talking about main events strictly right now. Just main events.
So so the main fight... I would still go with Covington and
that was your favorite fight of the whole
No, well, he's saying between that and Canelo and Plant. He's just saying those two fights.
I mean, because
what up? What?
If you want to ask me what was my favorite fight of the night,
no, I'm asking
Gaethje, bro.
Right now, I'm asking boxing versus USC, UFC.
That's why I was thinking the
main event versus main event.
All right, main event versus main event. UFC, bro.
Yeah,
any day.
Really, bro? Yeah, I want to know. I just want to know.
Really?
What's your response? UFC, of course.
All right, then, bro.
Yeah, it's UFC,
like,
bro.
Come on, bro.
Because you knew Canelo was going to be Plant. I mean, that's the only reason people watched that card.
He was just toying with him at that point.
Okay, well, Anthony, I'm asking you, did you watch both of the fights?
I was at work, bro.
Okay,
come on.
Cool. All right, now, Byron, what's your opinion?
UFC.
All right. Now, my next question to you guys is going to be, which one do you guys think people paid for more out within the world?
Canelo, in all honesty. I feel like Canelo.
Hold that's up. What say, I want to know.
The question
man.
Was who thinks
which pay per view
was bought more?
Was bought more?
Like,
that's what I want to know too.
I mean, all of Mexico, bro.
Yeah, for Canelo.
Yeah,
for
that's what
sure.
I'm saying. Canelo.
But then,
that's what I want to know is who sold out more. If it was Canelo, the pay per view.
What do you guys think?
Canelo,
before we look at the numbers, I want to know what you guys think.
I say the boxing.
Yeah, regardless.
You say boxing
because, like,
it's just
in all honesty, if you think about it.
Nah.
When they were doing the whole interview, I mean, you saw his reflexes. He dodged it way before.
Well, I mean, come on, guys.
He
Dana White was watching the fight.
Well, yeah, I mean,
but that's because he betted money.
Exactly.
He betted 100K.
But that tells you a lot right there, bro, that he's paying for the fight, too. He's not streaming it. He's not busting a hammer and his dad asking for the link.
Let's be real. What fight was going on while he was watching that, though?
I don't remember which one.
Co-main.
Exactly.
So he didn't want to watch the rose? Nah, bro. If he wouldn't want to watch it, he wouldn't have sat there in front.
Bro, he has Rose and Whaley in front of him, and then he has a little screen right there watching Canelo,
bro. It was not
a
little screen. It was kind of like the size of that TV over there.
So,
it was a decent 24-inch, 27-inch.
Show me the numbers, bro. As of right now, all I can see is projected
loading,
numbers.
Bro. As of right now, bro. Nobody knows.
And this is a projection for the Caleb versus Alvarez fight was... 990K pay-per-view buys.
So not even a million.
Not even a million. Damn, I doubt that the UFC... I think the UFC got more than a million. just more entertaining.
From hearing Dana White, he was talking about that it was one of their highest gates.
But, of the year or the,
of all time, actually. Sick.
In New York?
That's well, it's the Madison Square
Garden. That I was going to say, too. We're comparing
to Vegas.
MGM versus that. But it's just interesting to see, you know, both go down in the same.
And the other thing is people were going to pay more because the first fight, bro. People, like.
Oh, yeah. And it was $80 for Canelo.
Yeah, it was. I paid $80, guys.
Compared to 69. Oh,
64 for the, if you got ESPN Plus.
Well, you had to have ESPN Plus.
Damn, there's no other way to watch these fights, huh?
Nah, unless you're like internationally talking about this. It's a whole different thing. But yeah, I can't find it in just projections at the moment, but I'm pretty sure sooner or later we're going to get...
It's going to be a talking point eventually when the numbers really come out. It's going to be a talking point for sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
But yeah, that's the one I was interested. But then what happens? I just got to bring this up. 269. Because we just heard the
George Masvidal got pulled.
He got pulled because of an injury.
George been talking a lot of shit, and then he gave him the knuckle sandwich, and then now he's the one to pull out. And an undisclosed
injury.
Hey, but you know what's funny?
What?
After the fight, Covington was calling out Masvidal, and he said, "If you want to pull out with Leon Edwards, let's run it, me and you, in the beginning of the quarter." And I think that's a much more intriguing fight. So he could be pulling out because he wants to fight Covington next early January, February.
Yeah, but if you were, you're saying he's pulling and calling an injury just to do that?
Could be.
I would say so, bro. If you think about it, what fight sells more? I think the fight between them two fights more because they're former training partners, former roommates. Covington got kicked out of American Top Team because of the whole beef that he was having with Masvidal and also with Dustin Poirier. So,
well, there you go. I mean, it already answers your question. I mean, there was beef. Who's going to sell it?
He's a MAGA guy. He's a MAGA guy, but who did Donald Trump go see? George. Masvidal. That's just crazy part.
That's why I feel like. To me, Leon was a nice fight to sell too because it was like they had beef.
Yeah,
too.
But now that he pulled out, that card is looking very slim, bro. It's not looking very lucrative for like people to want to go watch it. Besides just the main fight, that's the other thing with it. And it's like all right, three people already called out Leon. You had Gilbert Burns, Bilal Muhammad, right? I believe is how you say his name. And you had Kamza. So Kamza. Sorry.
Kamza. Or like Kobe likes to call him Kumshot.
So it's like, all right, which one of those three would you put in? For me, Kamza is the one that makes the most sense just because he would actually give more hype to that card. Because that card is already looking very slim for 269. Like, pull it up. You can see what UFC 269 looks like. And it's pretty slim. It's like, there's other fights in there, but
The main events there, Dominic Cruz fighting.
He's in the prelims.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he's in prelims. He's not in the main.
Still, I mean, that just shows how much of a stacked card it is. The fact that they're going to have those guys fight.
But Amanda Nunes, bro, you already know she's going to win.
Still gonna be a good card. It's just we don't have a grudge fight.
Yeah, but it's not as lucrative.
We don't have a grudge match no more. We lost a grudge match on there.
Still
lucrative. I mean, you're fighting. You're about to fight for the 155-pound.
No, title. I'm saying that the main fight is gonna be the most interesting.
High Carter Francis Cody Garbrandt. Oh Sean, man, what the fuck? That's a good fight right there. Sean O'Malley's fighting on this. Jeff Neal versus this Argentinian guy. That's another good fight.
Prelims. That's all prelims right there.
Still, though, bro, we're getting entertained from the prelims. That's for dope. Free? Macy Barber.
It's going to be a nice card, bro.
Ryan Hall, bro.
This is going to casual, bro. Turn off his mic, bro.
Isn't this the girl that just lost to Valentina?
Man, he looked at me like...
Tommy Melly? Randy Costa?
That seems like an interesting fight.
Yeah, I mean, this is a pretty good fight, bro. Starting with Josh Emmett as well versus Danny Ainge. Ooh.
Old, washed.
Gatekeeper.
Those both are washed, bro.
It was the last time you saw Josh Emmett fight, bro.
Alright, brother, all right, carrying cool, on. Cool. Some tragic news this weekend. It just seems like
carry on, we gotta go to sleep now.
I feel like
I feel like, fuck, yo, there's been a lot of bad news coming out of Hollywood and the music industry as of late. Mm-hmm. We had the Alec Baldwin shooting.
The entertainment industry in general.
Yeah, right? We had the Alec Baldwin shooting. What? There was another thing, too, that happened recently besides the Astral World.
R. Kelly's going to trial.
Well, that's not tragic for us. That's tragic for him.
Tragic for the victims, too, man.
No, for sure.
Yeah.
But... Kanye West went on a rant at Drone Ching Champs, and you know.
But let's talk about Astroworld for sure. What happened in Houston last Friday at Astroworld? This was
a festival,
wasn't right?
It Saturday, bro.
I heard it was Friday. It was going into Saturday.
Yeah, it was a 2-day festival.
Why do I feel like I said that night that we were watching the fights? Though, remember when the news came out that 8 people died, and then I was like, "Oh, that was Illuminati," and then you guys like kind of giggled like. And then the next morning, it was like, oh, shit, it was all over the TikTok, and it was all this demonic shit that came out of it.
But that's why it happened on Saturday.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. Like, it was Saturday, not Friday then.
No, but he's talking about the festival. The festival itself started on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Travis's event, time happened on Saturday.
Really?
So basically, like, Astral will promote. So like Astral was a promoter.
Because it happened on Friday. Yeah. Really?
Happened on Friday?
Saying right here, these connections have added a layer of complication to an already frightened criminal investigation into the 8 deaths of young concert goers who collapsed as a crowd surged towards the stage while Mr. Scott performed on a Friday night during his Astroworld festival in Houston.
Bro, why is this so
weird?
So
when did
the
festival begin? Because I know that
it was
two to three.
I remember seeing things about it Saturday throughout the day.
Yeah.
By the time we got to your crib to watch the fights, it was already going on.
Right.
So it was Friday then.
It was Friday night. You're saying
okay,
night.
But
Friday
that's
night.
My thing.
So it started on Thursday.
Hold on,
no,
hold on,
bro.
Hold on.
It started Friday night.
Well, you got no, no, no. I'm the saying the festival
started Friday.
The fights. We saw the fights, and that comment I made. We found out 8 people died that Saturday night.
Exactly, because due to the chaotic scene, I mean, they wanted to confirm how many other people were affected by it.
Right. So that's why I'm tripping out. Why are they now reporting?
Already throughout the day, I remember it was like. Midday, and I was already hearing about this because I had a debate with someone about this, and this person had posted a video of a production worker being approached by a fan saying, "Hey, help this person."
So,
and this was like 11 a.m. Saturday, bro. This was already happening that people had died.
So by
the
Saturday
like
night, it was already canceled.
Yeah,
then.
Yeah,
everything had already been happening. Yeah,
damn, that's so ironic how I said that.
By
though,
Saturday, by Sunday morning, bro, is when all the conspiracy theories were coming out.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, because that night, I remember
but
saying
since
Illuminati
Friday,
just
people,
jokingly, and then the next day, the fucking conspiracy started coming
but
out.
By, yeah, but by that night, everything was like, people, it was like, there was already videos of things happening. All right,
question, because everybody's blaming Travis. Do you guys put the complete blame on Travis?
I blame whoever's in charge of logistics,
whoever's in charge of security, because logistically
Anthony,
speaking, you got to get everybody from one place to the other safely, and that security is supposed to enforce that.
All right, Anthony, what you think?
In all honesty, I think it's like due to security and the promotion. Because one, if you're promoting something, you have to make sure your audience is safe and enjoying having a good time. So the same thing with security.
What about you?
Bro, if you had a festival that started in... Bad Bunny performed there. That didn't happen. There was all bigger hitters there. Kendrick's cousin, Keem,
Baby
was there.
Keem, yeah.
That didn't happen.
Right, because they're more crazy over Travis. Because
it is in Houston, bro. He's from Houston.
He's a hype man.
A whole different thing.
No, but all right, you guys are getting to my point, right? What environment and habit does he build in his concerts?
Hypes,
rage.
Mosh pits.
Rage.
Yep.
Mosh pits,
so
right?
So you're saying it's his fault?
Partially. In that
well,
sense.
Well, at the same time,
okay,
though.
Because
before
even if
you add,
watch,
let me see what Biden
even
say.
If you watch his Netflix documentaries.
Yeah, he's already raging.
He loves that rock environment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he loves the mosh pitting. He loves all of that.
Pero that's like, that's what I'm going to say. Like, the Mexican saying, si saben como ponen, porque me invitan.
Exactly.
So that tells me it's more on the security, the promotion, because they know how his concerts get.
They have to
Why
secure.
Why don't you guys tighten up the security?
Exactly. If you see with rock events, like, for example, Slipknot, they create mosh pits, but you don't hear
nobody
deaths.
Dying.
You don't hear deaths happening.
Bro, motherfuckers be punching each other in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what he likes. He promotes all that. That's who he is. Because he's influenced by rock.
No, for sure. He's very, he got very dark music. It's just to me, honestly, Byron, do you have any, who do you think is to blame?
Let's get Byron's opinion on this first.
Before I drop my two cents.
Now that Manny pointed that out, I actually feel like it's everybody, it sounds
don't know, sounds corny.
Partially responsible.
Everybody's partially responsible.
Like everybody plays a part of it.
I also seen a video where
I don't think it's fully on Travis.
I think even partial. The fans have accountability.
That's the other thing.
It's because everybody that was in those fairgrounds even, is accountable like, to these
deaths.
You and I talked about this, how we heard several testimonies. I shared one with you of like one guy who was there. And even he talks about how like as soon as they started setting up for the set, people started getting rowdy.
Right.
Yeah. It hadn't even started. 45 minutes before.
Even to get into the place.
And then you also have Travis's tweet where he's like, there's people trying to get in. We're going to sneak them in.
Yeah, sneak in.
So he wants to even go even more maximum than the capacity that's supposed to be
there.
He
wants to push it beyond.
Technically, there was already 50,000 people there. You know, and then like that guy that I sent you where he was talking about where he's like, dude, he said he was 5'10", and as soon as the mob started squishing each other, he said that his feet weren't even touching the ground of how like squished he was. And he had a breakthrough with his wife out of there.
That's crazy.
Like, bro, to hear that, you're like, this is a crazy crowd.
I mean, at the same time, there was a video of like them pushing down a gate and trampling over the people
that
were underneath.
Beginning. Yeah. But that there's also videos.
The one you told me of the guy being trampled to death, saving his wife.
Right. There's videos of from the last 2019 show where they did the same thing. They stormed the gates and the entrance.
That's
same
his
thing
crowd,
happened
though.
Again
yeah,
now.
That's his crowd. Yeah.
But see, that's why, again, I point things to logistics and security because those are the people who. Bro,
those are intangibles, bro.
No, they're not, Manny. At the end of the day, the reason I point this is because that's their job. Their job is to logistically be able to get people from security checkpoint into the fairgrounds to the stages and then to be able to move
back
and forth.
But check this out. Yeah.
And then security enforces that. That's not intangibles, bro. Those are people who are dedicated towards doing those things.
You have a crowd
bro.
Stampeding, bro.
Exactly.
Let me drop my two cents. What are you going to do? Like, how are you going to stop
them
and they're stampeding?
Again, bro, logistically speaking, there has to be a way of how you get people through to each thing.
Okay, but that's what I'm saying.
And then if we're talking about capacity, that's also a logistic thing,
bro. Let me drop my 2 cents because you're right, bro. You're right. But
why did they stop those one
just like an airport,
that would happen in
just like in an airport,
New York.
Logistics could be overwhelmed because you're understaffed. And partially
that's
that,
a big
look,
thing I was gonna say,
let me finish. Is this is why I put the accountability on fans too. Because I've read comments, I've seen stories where they're saying there was no humanity in the crowd. You saw the holes being created with people getting sucked to the ground because it was that much of movement. It was literally, it looks like a wave
just filming.
Of people.
Yeah.
Yeah,
just a wave. Like every time they moved, you saw, and then you could see the look on their faces like, bro,
panic
I am not
scared.
Moving.
Yeah.
The crowd is moving me. So I feel like, for one, I'm going to put the blame on fans, logistic, promotion, Travis Scott, and Drake. Because to me, the worst timing of it was that you see the commotion, the hype, and then Drake comes out and it just kills it, bro. Like, you're right. You had Bad Bunny there, but I feel like imagine Bad Bunny comes out at night. Bro, the whole fucking crowd would have just surged the thing. Because it's like when you see the Selena movie and Selena comes out, Como La Flor, she'll come down. But before that, she was Bitty Bitty Bam Bam, right? The whole crowd starts going forward and then she sees it. She recognized it. In my opinion, that's where I kind of give him some fault. But then I'm also like, bro, what if he's already seen that his Ragers always do this and they always end up being okay?
So, like, basically he is like, you know, all it. And, you know, they're getting more hyped.
Right.
I'm getting more hyped.
Like, it just sucks because, and then it's also the whole, all right, I understand that I did say Illuminati on Saturday night, right? But then we cannot put so much blame on the
person who's performing.
No, no, no. Not only that, on the supernatural side. And not put any account to the physical, bro, people were humans and nobody helped nobody that was down.
Bro, in that story that I sent you, the guy saw someone pass out someone die because the people who were doing CPR didn't even know how to do CPR properly.
Right. So it's like.
And he even talked about how, like, there was other people who instead of, like, you know, trying to get someone else to help.
They were just part of it.
They were just filming.
Oh, shit.
And filming it.
And
there was no humanity in that, bro.
And keyword that Manny said, they didn't know how to do CPR. Okay, so then that Astroworld has a fault in that because they have to make sure you have their
get
license.
The hired
exactly,
right people.
Yeah.
So I feel
and
like,
the dude couldn't help because he's not even, like, he's from Puerto Rico.
And then
it's like, he's like, I can't legally, I can't, like, I know how to do it.
I can't intervene.
And I'm
watching
this person die. and I can't do anything.
I don't
and
like I'm gonna give you guys also an example from years ago, and I don't think if this is the right name. I don't know, but it's Stagecoach, right? That one that festival that used to happen in New York, that was huge. It was like Coachella, but like the original Coachella.
Stage, you mean?
Because Stagecoach is for country music.
Nah. Let me look it up. Because Woodstock? Woodstock, there we go.
Yeah, I see. Because Stagecoach is
had
country
a
music.
Great, bro. People were dying left and right because of how many people there were. And it was. That's why I'm saying, like.
Did you look up if Woodstock 97 or 99 died?
No, I know I'm not talking about. I'm talking about before that, bro.
So you're talking about the 70s.
The original Woodstock.
Yeah, but people
bro.
Were dying because of overdoses.
Not just
like
that.
The
there was also
bro.
A lot. There was an overcrowding of people. Shit like this was happening at yeah. Woodstock, too.
Because also, too, when you have that many people. The other thing that no, you have to think about.
Woodstock was legendary, but I don't know if it was legendary.
I'm not
for
talking about
deaths.
Like the 90s ones. Bro,
no,
I'm talking
no,
about
no,
any
no.
Woodstock.
Original
Woodstock
ones.
Was.
No, no, but
there's
another
only
thing that you have to take into consideration is when that's that many people in the crowd. They're all taking up oxygen, bro.
Yeah.
So then you have limited amount
no,
of oxygen
that,
in that
sure.
moment.
I mean, like at the same time, it's like body heat. So you're like you're basically suffocating yourself at that
yeah,
point.
400,000 people there. That's crazy.
But where was this?
This was in
Germany or something. Or
no,
New York.
This was in New York, bro.
Alemania.
Yo, I'll put that Laker game back on, bro. It's the last minutes, bro. I just want to see. 2 seconds. Woo!
But yeah, this was.
This guy goes back.
I'm trying to see.
You're like trying to see who wins, like he goes back.
It's 2 seconds left. Like
he's like cerote.
Yeah, I know, dude. Buzzing my bubble.
I don't think
they're trying
any
to prove
deaths,
a point.
Because Woodstock was legendary, bro. Like they had Jimi Hendrix. Like,
all right, did we win? Hold on, the buzzer's there, bro. Did we win?
Yeah, there you won.
Hell yeah, Lakers!
Yeah.
Good job, Lakers won tonight. You guys, 120. 117.
Breaking news.
Bro, see how many
two games back to back that go overtime?
As well without LeBron. Without LeBron.
Yeah.
Three people.
Without coach.
Bro, three people, 400,000 people. That doesn't even compare,
yeah,
dog.
Nah.
It doesn't even compare.
One
of them died from being run over by a tractor. Crazy.
Damn.
What the f? Who brings a tractor? What the f?
Well,
it was at a farm.
Yeah.
You see, that's why I think it's a difference.
But see,
bro.
Now what happened all right, here?
Bro,
now,
everybody was heroes on LSD and drugs, bro. So there was no violence from what's being said here.
Hey, hey, but at the same time, right, how does this event now affect Coachella? How does this event
bro,
now
bro,
affect
even, not,
stage
it
coach?
Wait, first of all, doesn't he have
now,
to go, it doesn't have to go that far. This weekend we have Day in Vegas.
Yeah, exactly.
Here in Vegas. Travis was supposed to perform.
He already canceled it.
He already canceled it. And then Post Malone is replacing him, and nobody wants to watch Post Malone.
Damn.
Everybody on the internet is like, nah, we want someone else.
Funny. Call J. Cole, but J. Cole doesn't want to do it either.
No, no. I mean,
J.
right
Cole
now,
already did it.
This is going to be a nightmare for a lot of
well, check
artists.
It out. It's already
yeah. festivals.
A
well,
artists.
For festivals. Tiana, not for concerts.
Tiana
not
Taylor
festivals.
In general, though.
Tiana
artists,
Taylor yeah. had a concert 2 days ago already, and she already... Is she all right? Is she okay? Like, trying to make it seem like she's handling... Playboi
yeah.
Carti had a show already, same thing. And Playboi Carti, same energy as Travis. They got mosh pits in there, too.
Well, I mean, at the same time, I saw like a video. It was like a while back before COVID. Shaq West concert when he was performing his song. I mean, you saw people like freaking running into each other, being crazy, but no deaths were reported. So, I mean, like, I feel like Travis takes it up to another level where he sees people being chaotic, people like throwing punches, like a bunch of mosh pits.
All right, what about the aspect that we're still
seen,
in COVID?
Have you seen the video where he tells the guy to jump off like almost like a three? Flight? Have you seen that one of
yeah,
Travis?
Yeah, and he breaks his... And
the guy is supposedly left paralytic
yeah,
after
but
that?
I saw a video today, and it was... And the one I saw is that the same guy they were talking about, a white boy, he was hanging there, and then supposedly somebody pushed him off. Like, and it was, like, interesting because the first video I said it was that he jumped off because Travis dared him.
But he does dare him.
Yeah, he says it.
And he says
and
the
then,
crowd will catch you.
Exactly. But then it's a trip because the guy says in another interview that I saw, it was like that the crowd pushed him after Travis dared him. And that's why he got paid out. And I'm like, that makes sense because if he dares you and you do it, that's on you, bro. I dared you. That,
yeah.
Like, you did it.
Yeah. That's your own will.
But
exactly.
At the same
but
time,
if he
that's
got
your
pushed,
idol.
Yeah.
At the same time, that's your idol.
And right. Then you got people around you hyping you up.
But if people push you, that's also like, damn, now you can sue the venue and they can pay you. You know what I'm saying? Because it was like, bro, because he's hanging, bro.
Yeah,
and then
to
like
be left paralytic after that.
That's the thing, though, man. I'm gonna tell you guys too, and this is not that serious for me. Listening is that usually when you go to when you buy a ticket to things like this too.
Yeah, you sign your waiver.
You're signing your liability and all that stuff. So
yeah, your rights are gone.
You better have a good lawyer to find out who's gonna be liable, who you're gonna sue, because if not, you're gonna be wasting a lot of money.
Like Travis Scott says,
it's lit.
All right, guys. Thank you very much. Thank you, Manny.
So
you can't blame
the demons, y'all. You got to have accountability as human beings, man. Next time, if you can see somebody down.
That's why I tell people. I'm going to keep my ass home.
I mean, we just came from J. Cole, and J. Cole didn't have that energy.
Nah, and that bro. Not even 21 Savage.
That shit sounded like a fucking soccer stadium.
Yeah.
J. Cole. You didn't hear.
But that's not a festival, though.
Well, I mean, because like in honesty, if you let's go
to Dreamworld, see how that festival, Dreamfest. Right. Let's go there, see how that one goes.
If you listen to J. Cole, it's more like you know.
Yeah, his crowd's not
it's like he's talking facts.
He's not telling you to see you on the other side.
Exactly,
like,
yeah. He's talking facts.
But also, he doesn't like that. Like, yeah, he likes hype. But he's not asking you to like rage, bro.
Yeah, like not making mosh pits.
He's not making mosh pits and all that. Like that's not his vibe.
We were
like,
kind of in a mosh pit when we were up there.
I feel like J. Cole
we were all bunched up.
I feel like J. Cole's
who
like
was pushing you, bro?
The guy, my wife, because your hair kept hitting me.
Bro, yours is it all there for that.
No, bro. All right, good night, people. I gotta go cut hair. I'll see you right now, John Sally. He's watching.
John Sally,
have a good night, y'all.
Get you back on.
Good night, guys.
Thank you, Anthony.
Thank you for listening to our episode. We appreciate your support. Remember to follow us on Instagram at The Current Pod, where you can share our episodes, review, interact with us, talk to us about what's going on. We appreciate your feedback and everything that you guys do for us and supporting us. Have a wonderful day.